In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. One is of the flesh, earthy, and the other is of spirit, heavenly." I think that most of us are at that place in understanding where we realize there is an identity called you that functions as a human being, displaying the characteristics that belong to its human nature. And at the same time, we are also aware of an indwelling presence known as the Christ, the child of God. Its characteristics are of a spiritual nature, the attributes of God. Now, this is our real identity. This is the real you, even though there is a part of us not yet fully experiencing it. Lessons in Truth reveal that the first step in becoming aware of our spiritual nature is to acknowledge its existence. We begin our practice by affirming what it is that we say we believe. We affirm that, yes, God created us in His image and likeness, which means that God the Father, God the Child are one. Said another way, God manifests as us. We continue our acknowledgement by declaring that our inner heavenly nature is our spiritual identity, our integrity, the source of our life, our abundance, and all of our happy relationships. We feel that it is all just a matter of focus and attention. Nevertheless, at some point, we must go beyond merely affirming and believing. We must step out on our conviction and be that self that we intuitively know we are. As long as we draw on it, and not on people, places, or things out here, it will manifest. Learning of the celestial bodies, the bodies terrestrial, we develop certain concepts and ideas concerning what that might mean. Now, there are times in meditation when we feel so close to the celestial self. We claim and we affirm with deep conviction, I and my Father being one, and my Father being spiritual, means that I am spiritual. Therefore, my body is spiritual and my body is the temple of God. However, let us not forget, the Bible also tells us that while we shall bear the image of the heavenly, that we have also borne the image of the earthy. Therefore, there are those times when we view with the eye of material discernment, claiming and affirming what belongs to the body terrestrial. You see, we tend to affirm what it is we are claiming as our identity at that particular moment in time. Meaning, if we lower our gaze to what makes up the lesser self, we will experience the sorrows and the joys that come from such acceptance. If we lift our gaze to the heavens, we will experience heavenly things, and we will not be moved. Now, exactly, what do we see when we view with material sense? If the material sense is not our reality, then what exactly are we looking at? When we observe and interpret with the human eye, what we see is a concept or an idea of what we are looking at, and not actually the reality of what we are observing. Whether it is a body of a person, the body of the ocean, or the form of the sky, the body of a tree, the form of a bird or flower, it does not matter. It is our concept that determines our reflection and judgment. For instance, let us contemplate the form of a person. Now, the body of the physical being arrives on this earth plane in the form of a baby. Experience teaches us that this particular form is not capable of caring for itself. Therefore, it requires a great deal of attention and maintenance from its parents and guardians. However, the physical form is subject to change, to various stages of growth and development, and therefore that form does not stay the same. Before long, the form of the baby transitions to the one of the toddler, advancing to the teenage years, that young adult, the one of middle age, and then eventually arriving in the form of the senior citizen. Now, at each stage of development, the old form does not die. For instance, the baby did not die in order for the toddler to appear. No, the form merely adjusts or transitions to its new identity, taking on the concepts that accompany its growth and progress. Human judgment and determination assign characteristics and traits to progression. While this seems logical to the human sense, when we view the changing scenes of the transition process, we are not really able to find a permanent identity. The thing is this, when we view with the material sense, we never really see the whole picture. We see in bits and pieces, not able to find the reality behind the manifestation. Now, on the other hand, the celestial body, the one of spirit, it does not develop and grow, nor does it transition through various forms of progression and advancement. It is whole and intact, complete in its identity as that one sent from God, equipped to perform its function and purpose of being. It is only when we come to that place that is invisible to the human eye that we come to the spiritual temple, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. To arrive at this consciousness, it's not necessary for us to die to form, but rather to die to our concept of material form. When we say that we are free of the body, we mean that we are free from a material sense of the body, free from a material sense of life. You see, it is true that we continue in this body as long as we are on this earth plane. Only now we do so from the understanding of that one of the celestial body and not that one of the body terrestrial. When we behold with the lifted eye, we observe the spiritual creation, the reality behind the body of a person, the body of the ocean or the sky, the body of the tree, a bird, or a flower. Even with this new realization, there still may be those times when we are tempted to look with human concept and vision. Remember, we continue to appear as that body terrestrial as long as we remain on this earth plane. However, this is how it works now. As a human being, we may look at a physical body that is suffering, perhaps from a disease or illness, and we affirm there is nothing that we can do. Now, this is a true admission because we of ourselves can do nothing. Nevertheless, the one of spiritual practice is free of human concept and idea. While they admit that they of themselves can do nothing, they know the power that can. The individual of spiritual practice may look at that physical form and declare in this way, Christ is the only being. Christ is our only true identity. And so I ask, can Christ be sick or in need? Can Christ be wanting in any way? Of course not. So, since Christ is the identity that manifests as all form, then this form that I am looking at is the one of celestial being, and there is nothing to heal or to fix. Now, the one who views in this way beholds the risen Christ, acknowledging that which is invisible. Think about it. Just as we have human faculties, those five physical senses, so are there spiritual faculties. We call them soul faculties, inner awareness that discerns when cannot be humanly known. Our studying and all that reading reveal things that are antagonistic to the human mind because it has no way of knowing or recognizing them. How then are we to know them unless we develop that natural inner intuitive faculty? But how does one do this? Well, the development of a spiritual faculty comes primarily through a time of meditation. That time when we step outside the concept of material form, freeing us from its confines and limitations. Remember, many people have been studying metaphysical writings for years, but they have not even had a tiny glimpse of spiritual vision. Now, that is because they read with the head, with the mind, allowing the human thought to give meaning and clarification. However, it is intuition that reads between the lines, feeling and sensing behind the written word. Now, human thought, it directs its attention to the body of material form, concentrating on its upkeep and maintenance. To this one, the important thing is that there is a certain amount of money to be made, a certain amount of security to be maintained, a certain amount of pleasure to be enjoyed. And the only interest and intent is how to get his or her share of all of it. Well, there is no room for spiritual consciousness in that one who immerses himself or herself in the driving ambitions and pleasures of humanhood. Now, Jesus had a great deal to say about form and how we should treat it. He said, give no thought to your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or how ye shall be clothed. Now, he was not telling us that we should do without these things. No. Rather, he was telling us to turn our attention away from the outer and seek ye first the kingdom of inner being. All things are contained in the kingdom, and they shall be added unto you. You see, every good gift comes down from heaven. And then there was that bit of advice concerning our treasure. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. In fact, he told us to sell all that we have and give to the poor. He did not tell us that we should not have treasures, just that we should keep them in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Next, he told us why we should do this. For where your treasure is, there is your heart be also. The heart gives value to what it considers important. When we lay up for ourselves treasures upon the earth, we are sowing to the flesh of the body terrestrial, bowing to its material demands and maintenance. However, when we lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, we are sowing to the terrestrial body, the one that does not concern itself with the things of the world. These are the spiritual verities of eternal life. The world must be awakened from its material sense, and who but the spiritually illumined can awaken it? This awakening, it cannot come about through the intellect, nor by preaching and repeating what we have learned from books, but rather through spiritual illumination. The spiritually illumined, they are the ones who give no thought, relying instead on those heavenly treasures of divine intuition, guidance, and direction. On the storehouse of infinite blessings. Now, it is true, we may have wandered into a spiritual teaching asking for material satisfaction, perhaps a healing of the body or the pocketbook, or a bit of love and companionship. And because of our attention and persistence, we may have attained a measure of success and satisfaction. However, material form does not last, and we are left to conclude, here today, gone tomorrow. Nevertheless, we are concerned about our treasure. Noticing the transitory nature of material good, we consider once again the words of the Master. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all things will be added unto you. We reason that if the kingdom is the source of our good, regardless of the appearance, then what we really want is to be consciously one with the cause or the source. Spiritual wisdom allows us to forget the object we are seeking. Giving no thought for our life enables us to give up that search for health, wealth, and harmony in and of themselves. We receive them and enjoy them as those things which are included in the attainment of spiritual consciousness, those treasures laid up in heaven. I mentioned earlier that the development of the spiritual faculties comes primarily in a time of meditation. So each day, we should dedicate a portion of our meditation to the specific realization of the Christ, For it is only through this realization that material sense will be dispelled, thus preparing the way for the receptivity of spiritual consciousness. This should be the goal of every practicing divine scientist. If we stay true to the listening and receptive attitude, we will become aware that something new has entered our life. And this intangible something is the Spirit of God, the Word in which we are abiding, and which we are permitting to abide in us. Giving no thought for our life, we are free of personal demands and expectations. We are free of the concept of body. One with our source, a greater degree of harmony is evident in our experience. Well, how can it be otherwise? When we are one with something, we benefit from the something that makes up that one. Let us read the words of the Master in the book of John. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The purpose of today's lesson is to reveal the temple not made with hands. We will find nothing outside our own being. All is found within. We discover and realize this all through contact in meditation. In our time of silence, we open the way for the love, intelligence, health, and supply of God to flow. This morning, let us turn within and acknowledge him. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. This is our personal time with God. That time when we shut the door to the outside world. In the stillness, we reach for the mark of the high calling, following that urge that invites us to come up a little higher. The identity called the lesser self, the terrestrial self, it melts away, for there is nothing to sustain it. The concept of us as mortal man, it belongs to our human nature, but we are of God. We are eternal life, without beginning and without end. Free of the concepts of mortal man, its limitations no longer restrict us or confine us. The household of God rules in our heart and in our soul. The one who is spiritually minded is governed from on high, led by Spirit in the way in which they should go, the words they should speak, the actions they should take. God is the unseen movement, that silent power behind the activity of all life. Be still and know is the way of realization. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Sing joyful praise unto him.
Go in peace and have a joyous, blessed week.